Today is going to be a fun one here on Locked On Vols. Ward Wednesday, Josh Ward stops by talking to Tennessee basketball and Tennessee football as the Vols prepare for South Alabama. Walk-on wide receiver for Tennessee, Grant Furking, stops by to talk about an event that he is putting on tonight at Walk-Ons. And has Tennessee exceeded your expectations in year one? All that and more here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, as you can tell from the open, it's going to be a guest-driven show. We've got a number of guests coming on the show this week, and I'm really excited about it. We'll have a guest each of the next 3 days, starting with two here today, so hope you guys enjoy that. I am Eric Kane, your host of Locked On Vols. Welcome in at Locked On Vols on Twitter, at underscore Kane is where you can follow me on Twitter. I'm a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, and a writer for the VolQuest.com website. That is Rivals, covering Tennessee football and recruiting. Want to thank all you guys, as always. I know I say it every single day, but thank you for making Locked On Vols your first listen. And if you're new to the show, hey, we hope you come back. Hope you like what you hear today. It's available 5 days a week on all platforms, completely free, and on YouTube coming soon. All right, so Tennessee coming off a loss to top-ranked Georgia. Now looking ahead to South Alabama, but also it is crossover season. Tennessee basketball, a major matchup this weekend in Connecticut, off to a 2-0 start. Josh Ward, former host of Sports One, former host of this podcast, and of course over at 99.1 The Sports Animal, he joins the show now. This is Ward Wednesday here on Locked On Vols. Josh, what's up, dude?
Hey, man, just a couple weeks to go here in the regular season. Recruiting's a big focus. There's a lot happening right now, plus basketball starting up. It's a fun time.
Yeah, it is a fun time. You know me, I'm all football, full go, 100 miles an hour. But let's start basketball because that is your true passion. We're not talking 90s Bulls here, okay? But we're talking Tennessee basketball. Kennedy Chandler, SEC Freshman of the Week, 18 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds in the first two games of the season on average. No surprise, I think Kennedy Chandler is going to be an absolute stud for Tennessee this year. And it's just for this year only because he will be a lottery pick.
He's a terrific player, and his playmaking ability, his shooting that he's displayed early on this season is a really, really bright spot for what this offense could be, because the offense itself is running differently, and having shooters helps. Vescovi, who can play off the ball, Justin Powell is a transfer from Auburn, but if Kennedy Chandler can shoot the basketball like he has, and I wouldn't expect it to be exactly like that, but to shoot consistently and to be an outside threat, that is something that opposing teams will have to pay attention to. And I went into this season saying I like the makeup of this roster better than last year's roster. That doesn't mean that Tennessee lacked good players. Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer were first-round picks for a reason, and Epons is a terrific defensive player, and the way that he played, there were a lot of things to like, but the makeup of this roster, the versatility is terrific, and they're going to be tested this week. This is a good opportunity on a bigger stage for Kennedy Chandler to show what he can do, because Colin Gillespie is one of the best point guards in the country for Villanova. It's a really good team. So if Tennessee can play well, certainly if Tennessee can win, and if Kennedy Chandler plays well, which they'll probably need him to win, then that could mean a lot for Tennessee early on in the season. They're going to be tested, too. That's good for this team. They don't have to win all these games in non-conference, but being tested against future NCAA tournament teams will help when it's tournament time.
Yeah, Rick Barnes is playing a ton of players right now. Realistically, I don't think you can keep pace with playing as many players. How big of a rotation are we gonna see? You know, maybe, you know, later on in non-conference play before we get into SEC play.
Yeah, it'll come down some, and it might be matchup dependent. It might be affected. I would say it will be affected by players in foul trouble, things like that. But what the starting lineup has been, I think that continues moving forward with John Fulkerson now back in. But I think they go 9 deep pretty comfortably. They can go 10 deep if they need. You know, somebody like Uroš Plavšić, I think his minutes or his role would be an example of being matchup dependent, or if a big man gets in foul trouble, you'll see more of him there. But we'll see guys that we're used to. Victor Bailey Jr., who's kind of forgotten in the offseason conversation. I think there was a little bit of that with Vescovi. And then Olivier Kamwa was a huge bright spot to start the year. So depth is definitely there with Tennessee.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Olivier Kamwa. And Jimmy Himes made this comparison. Tennessee basketball needs Kamwa to be what Cedric Tillman was in football this year. Maybe not to that extent. What I mean by it is a guy that was in the program, didn't really contribute an awful lot, never broke out, and then broke out in a big way. If Olivier Kamwa can keep that up, I think that would be huge. I mean, he's been outstanding the first two games of the season.
When he arrived, I was really impressed by the attitude, what Olivier had to say about why he was at Tennessee, and how much he knew he had to learn. And that, from a mindset standpoint, from an understanding of what he needed to do, I was betting on him becoming a valuable player for Tennessee, and also trusting the coaches when they would talk about his potential and what he could do. Also, the fact that he didn't leave. There were other guys that left that realistically were not going to get bigger roles at Tennessee. Olivier Komwa stayed at Tennessee, and I'm sure he was encouraged to do so by Tennessee's coaches saying, hey, here's what can happen for you if you continue to trust us, and I think we're seeing that. So they needed more of an inside presence, post presence, but also his ability to shoot from the outside, if that continues to be there. Similar with Kennedy Chandler, that's another threat for opposing teams to pay attention to.
Josh Ward, host of Sports 180, joining the show for Ward Wednesday. Any surprises from Tennessee's 41-17 loss to Georgia? I feel like it was kind of what we expected, right?
It was almost exactly what I expected. So I don't really have any surprises. I mean, maybe individual plays, a couple of passes that I know Hendon Hooker would like to get back. I guess maybe I'm surprised where they went, but I also knew that that was very possible against that Georgia defense. So, no, I really didn't have any. I think the game showed us what we knew, and that is that Georgia has a ton of talent, and that's what Tennessee is trying to get to. And you know, this is not a one-year fix if you want to be where Georgia is. It's going to take several years because Georgia has gotten there by recruiting. It's talent. I mean, Kirby Smart said it, and he meant it a couple weeks ago. You can't outcoach recruiting. And I mean, maybe in an individual game you can, but big picture, trying to be as good as Georgia or Alabama or LSU a couple of years ago, coaching matters. Don't get me wrong. Coaching absolutely matters. Development, all of that. But you're only going to be so good as a coach based on how good your players are. Tennessee in the 90s. Tennessee had really good coaches. David Cutcliffe is an offense coordinator. John Chavis is a defense coordinator, the assistants. But they became better offensive coaches when Jamal Lewis and Travis Henry walked onto campus.
Yep.
And on defense with Al Wilson at linebacker and Deion Grant playing at safety with a one-handed interception against Florida. That's not coaching. That's playmaking. And N'Kobe Dean running around there making plays for Georgia, that's talent.
It's like you can't out-coach that talent of Josh Ward in Church League basketball, right?
Very similar. My mid-range jumper with the driveway court is, I don't know that it's as good as it's been, but it's as trustworthy.
Been a couple of years since you've been out there on the court, right?
Yeah, I want to make a comeback. I'm getting up there in age, but I think I have one more run in me in a different kind of role, I think, in Church League basketball. If anybody's looking for a free agent reserve guard who can fill it up, let me know.
All right, we'll keep that in mind. Okay, so you got Tahan Evans, very questionable for the remainder of the season. Aaron Beasley went out with an ankle injury, his status up in the air. Javonte Payton went out with an injury, his status up in the air. I mean, it's time, right, Josh? South Alabama, Vanderbilt, it is time. Where if Christian Charles is healthy, he needs to play every snap he can. It's time to where we need to see what Aaron Willis has, William Mohan has, Romel Keaton more run, maybe shift Valus to the outside and play Jalen Hyatt or Walker Merrill. It's time to see more guys play these last two games, right?
Yeah, totally agree. All of these young players that are going to play bigger roles next season, let's see what you can do against this team. Now, you're not sitting starters, but you want to get up and give those guys an opportunity to be in the game, and this is an opportunity this week and next week. Vanderbilt is an SEC team, but it's not an SEC quality team, and we'll see where that program goes. But right now, that's a game where Tennessee should be able to win easily. So 7 wins is right here on the table for the Vols, and I don't know if Tennessee's going to cover, but Tennessee opened as a 27.5-point favorite this week for a reason. So go show that, put up some points on offense. Let's see if Romel Keaton can continue to develop, because he's a name that I think a lot of people probably forgot about. He's one of the few remaining really highly touted players in that 2019 class that's on campus. So let's see. We talked about Cedric Tillman's development. I'm not saying Romel Keaton is going to be Cedric, but is he a guy that can help in this offense over the next couple of years? I would think so, if everything goes right. So give him an opportunity, and then certainly those younger players on the defensive side, they need more depth there. And when we say depth, we're talking talent. Like Mohan and Willis, they've been available. They're just available on the sideline. So talent and development, they need that.
All right, something you and Heather spoke on Sports 180 earlier in the week, and something I spoke on a little bit earlier in the week on the show as well. And this is looking ahead to 2022. Now, you know, what Josh Heupel and his staff have done in year one have exceeded my expectations in a number of areas. You know, getting getting what they've got out of certain position groups has been incredible. The ability to scheme up offensive plays and put yourself in position to go and score some touchdowns has been great. Not taking anything away from this season right now, but looking ahead, I truly don't believe Tennessee will ever be taking a big step in the right direction of getting back to where the program wants to be until Tennessee starts knocking off one of the big three or some of the big three consistently. Next year, what should Tennessee's expectations be against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama?
Tennessee should absolutely compete with Florida. Does Tennessee have to win the game? Not necessarily, but it's okay to be disappointed, and it's definitely not okay to lose by 24 like it ended up being earlier this season. So that one for sure. Alabama and Georgia, you know, let's revisit next season, but I didn't see anything on Saturday that says to me that Tennessee is close against Georgia. You're headed to Athens, obviously, next season. And then I would say the same with Alabama. You can maybe be competitive in that game, but you play for 60 minutes, and at the end of 60 minutes, Tennessee lost by 28 this season against Alabama. But Florida, that's a different conversation. That is not a team that is loaded with talent like Alabama and Georgia. You have Florida coming to Knoxville next season, and right now and even next season, there will be some kind of question mark, either what's Dan Mullen's status, or if things completely fall apart and he's gone, well, then you have a new coach coming in with Florida. So that's a game that Tennessee should at least have a really good chance in the fourth quarter to win. And if some fans are saying, hey, we need to win that game, I totally understand why.
Josh Ward, host of Sports 180. What is coming up on the show this week with you and Heather Harrington?
Yeah, a lot of talk about just where the program is coming out of the Georgia game. We're in the turn-the-page mode at this point in the week, so not as much focused on South Alabama, but where is Tennessee's program headed? Less than a month to go until the early signing period, plus basketball. A lot of basketball with a big weekend coming up in Connecticut for the Vols.
Josh Ward every Wednesday here on Locked On Vols. Grant Furking coming up in segment number two. Again, a great story, and I encourage you, if you're looking for something to do tonight, if you're looking for a dinner place, head on out to Walk-Ons. I'll tell you all the details in the next segment. Head on over to the Walk-Ons, support the Walk-Ons for the University of Tennessee, your favorite football team, and meet some of the guys, including our next guest, Grant Furking. That is coming up in segment number two. But I want to remind you guys about Prize Picks. It's the leader in college sports daily fantasy, offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and offers all the star players from the Power 5 level as well as the mid-majors. You might not even heard of some of these guys yet, but Prize Picks offers them. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even the interceptions that are thrown. And everybody on their first deposit, if you use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get 100% deposit match up to $100. That means if you put in, again, $100 on your first deposit by using the promo code Locked On, you're going to get $100 back. You put in $50, you're going to get $50 back. It's that simple. You pick the 2 to 5 players and the over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can take the over in the NBA points per game and the under and the turnovers in the key Sunday Night Football matchup. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, and PrizePicks is safe and offers very fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code Locked On, or you can go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it is daily fantasy made easy. Fresh off another appearance on the Paul Feinbaum Show, now it's really the time for Grant Furking to step into the spotlight here on Locked On Vols. Tennessee wide receiver, an entrepreneur, and a pioneer in the NIL for college athletes per On3Sports. His name is Grant Furking. Grant, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Hey, Eric, thanks for having me on. Look forward to it, man.
All right, so you are hosting an event that is really, really cool, okay? You're hosting an event called Walk-On Night at Walk-Ons here in Knoxville, and it's a chance for fans to come out, meet, greet, take autographs, potentially some name, image, and likeness opportunities, but really a chance to meet the Walk-Ons for the University of Tennessee. Tell me kind of what made you think of this. Obviously, I know you're a walk-on yourself, but this is a really neat idea.
Yeah, I mean, and you just touched on it too, you know, being a walk-on, I've been able to kind of see the whole picture of what the walk-on experience is like, and I've experienced it while being an entrepreneur, and then, you know, being an entrepreneur and being a walk-on now in this new name, image, and likeness era. You know, since July 1st, we've seen an influx of NIL deals occur, across the country and on our roster too at Tennessee. And just like in anything, walk-ons are always kind of a step behind, right? You know, they're not in the spotlight on Saturdays. They're not rolling across the ticker on ESPN. And, you know, in this whole NIL era, any player has the ability to go and capitalize off who they are and what they do and what they're passionate about. You know, some players are just going to make a killing just because of who they are and what they do, and because people, you know them because they see them every Saturday. Other players are going to go and kind of do what I did and go and build a business out of it. And unlike I was able to do for the last 5, 6, 7 years, is they're able to tag themselves of being a Tennessee football player, Tennessee basketball player, baseball player, whatever it is, and use that to elevate their business or product or service to benefit themselves. And what I saw was, you know, let's utilize our platforms as Tennessee football players. And, you know, with me being on the roster and in my multiple companies and, you know, GTF Enterprises, which can actually help guys within our own team and stuff, let's set up an event and go and gather support from Tennessee fans, from former walk-ons, from local businesses, and support the walk-on portion of our roster. And that's exactly what we're doing. And how fitting of a place than Walk-On Sports Bar. And you know, I know their GM really well, and you know, we've been talking about it, and it was just an awesome time here towards the latter part of the season. Holidays are coming up. Everyone has just fallen in love with this Tennessee team this year, and you know, how hardworking these guys are and what we've been able to do. So, with the walk-ons being such a big part of that, you know, a lot of us walk-ons have seen the field this year and have played a crucial part in a lot of our games. So for us to be able to go out there, just hang out as a group for one, and then, you know, have Tennessee fans come out. We've already had tremendous support from former walk-ons already donating. And we're going to be giving out, you know, signed helmets, signed footballs. We're going to be giving out dinners with the walk-ons in the off season. And I don't know if you know a whole lot of us, but the walk-ons have a good time, and they're a close-knit bunch.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So before I forget, it's 7:30 to 10 p.m. Okay, it's at Walk-Ons. That is at 7621 Kingston Pike in Knoxville. And like I said, autographs, pictures, meet and greet, potentially some name, image, and likeness opportunities. But outside of yourself, who are some of these names? Because, I mean, of course, I know the names, or I know most of the names. Who are some of these names that we can look forward to seeing?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be guys that are Nick Humphrey, who you see on the field, Jack Jancic, you know, our third string quarterback right now, Gaston Moore, you have out there, Sully McDermott, another quarterback you have, you know, guys you see on the field last year playing special teams, Tanner DeBrucki. I mean, you have a lot of guys that, you know, play significant roles on this team. And I'm leaving out, you know, Fred Orr, Isaac Green, you have guys all over the place that have played significant roles and maybe not even on the field and you see on the stat sheet every week, but, you know, guys that have been here and been through the journey for 4 or 5 years that have played massive roles leadership wise in their position rooms and unit rooms, who have stuck through the process, already have a degree from here, are working towards graduate school. And they're all here doing it for the right reasons, A, because they love Tennessee, and two, they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And in being a walk-on, you know, putting in the same hours that a guy on scholarship is doing seriously and even more, all while not getting any of the glory, being on a scout team, you know, just hyping up guys on the bench. And then you're doing that while paying $40,000 a year to go to school here. You know, it's hard, but it's so rewarding. And this is just another aspect of how we can show appreciation from myself and kind of facilitating this event and show love to my current teammates, but also be able to get Vol Nation together and let them be able to love and support on these guys too.
Okay. You say walk-on sometimes do more. Now, you're at every single practice, you're at every single weight session, right? Training session, film room, all that type of stuff. But when you say more, what do you mean by that?
Well, you just think about it. I mean, a lot of these guys play a scout team. Well, if you're going against the offense and you're servicing them on scout defense, the ones, twos, and threes on offense are all rotating. So those guys are just out, you know, they get a breather here and there. The scout defense is having to go every single snap servicing the ones, twos, and threes. And then on top of that, I mean, as a walk-on, you know, you just always are having to prove yourself, right? No one's given you anything. You're there trying to showcase your brand. It's kind of like NIL. A player's out there trying to showcase their brand and prove themselves to go out and get deals. That's the day-to-day life you live as a walk-on, right? You're there trying to pave your own way. You know, there's a group of us walk-ons that came as preferred walk-ons, so we were recruited. And then a lot of us, you know, there are guys that had to try out and go and make the team. And so they're out every single day trying to earn a spot. You know, the guys that, you know, are having their school paid for in any program are always going to get the first nod, but you're there as a walk-on to go and prove that you should be there and you can compete with those guys as well. So there's a multitude of ways of what walk-ons do outside of your traditional scholarship football player, but the amount of time, energy, and most importantly, the resources that walk-ons and their families pour into this experience are second to none. And to be able to do an event like this, I haven't seen anyone be able to do it across this conference yet. You know, you've seen some schools like BYU do stuff for the walk-ons, but to truly be able to get a whole group together and go and just hang out for a night and meet some fans and just kind of show who we are and kind of, you know, line up some maybe NIL deals down the future, but also be able to, you know, bring some money together you know, get some signed items back would be a cool experience.
Yeah. A proud sponsor of the college channel here for Locked On Vols, Built Bar. They're the ones at BYU that did that. So I think it's such a small world. One of my favorite things is seeing whenever walk-ons get put on scholarships, Dane Davis, a former walk-on, of course, I think most Tennessee fans know who Dane Davis is by now. He was getting a lot of run, potentially going to be a starter earlier in the year. And of course he's played a whole lot of significant snaps. When one of you guys get put on scholarship, seeing the team first string quarterback all the way down to the last walk-on to join the team, just celebrate. It's an awesome feeling.
It is. It's just like anyone on the team, they're a brother to you, right? The amount of time we spend together day in and day out, you know, 300 days out of the year, we're together in a locker room, you know, we're lifting together, we're doing community service together, we're out on the practice field together, we're in class together, we hang out on the weekends together, whatever it is, you know, we're all there for each other. And that's not just exclusive to the walk-ons or the scholarship guys. Everyone's excited for each other because we're all going and grinding together, but especially the group of walk-ons, when we see one of our guys go out and, you know, be able to get the ultimate goal as a walk-on to get put on scholarship, you know, we're so proud for them because we know they've earned it. And when you know that they've earned it, that means the coaches saw that, you know, other people saw that outside the program and they finally made it. There's a lot of times that, you know, some guys are like, man, this guy really deserves it. And, you know, that's so subjective to opinion stuff, but when you know a guy officially made it, that means that, you know, it was recognized from the top down and they were able to reward that guy. So we're always so happy to see it. And, you know, across college football, whenever those videos are posted, it's truly a remarkable experience because you know what that guy worked for to get it.
Walk-ons Wednesday night, tonight, 7:30, 10 o'clock, come out and meet the Tennessee walk-ons. Grant, man, I got to ask you, you are a guy that juggles many, many hats. Maybe I don't think everybody truly understands what goes into being a student athlete. It is nothing short of a full-time job. Even in the off season, it is a full-time job. You are a business owner. You are, like I said, a pioneer for name, image, and likeness with On3 Sports. And you're trying to pass school. I mean, you're doing so many things. How are you able to juggle all that during football season?
Well, Eric, it's funny. I was talking to some of our SIDs yesterday because we were doing a Q&A story that's going to be out this week. But, you know, I would have told you I was crazy enough a year ago, you know, dueling as a CEO of a company and also being a student athlete. And then I decided to sign up for more school and go to grad school here, which isn't easy as well. And you have class for 3 hours at night now. And then in the last year, I decided to start another company and then go lead another division for On3. So, you know, I'm running, you know, a division and two other companies right now while also being a student athlete. And, you know, as crazy as that sounds, and it is crazy in a sense, I absolutely love it because, you know, as I talked on the Feinbaum show, when you're passionate about something, you truly do love it. I think that gets caught up and is kind of just speak sometimes and gets cliche, but when you truly do something that you love and you're passionate about and it gets you excited each and every day, it's not really even considered work. And when you talk about not getting much sleep and, you know, interfering with other things, are you able to juggle this and that? When it brings me so much joy and all these things that I do, like being able to impact customers' lives in a positive way. And that started when I started my first company at 15. And now being able to do that and go and help my fellow athletes out, go and able and help student athletes across the country out with NIOU, that's stuff that truly makes me happy. And while I don't sleep much and I barely have a free second ever, that's what I'm passionate about. And being able to have an impact on people's lives and trying to change their lives in a positive way is something that I'll always be passionate about. And as long as I'm still able to do it, I'm always going to do it.
All right. Last thing, man, we'll get you out the door. I got to ask you a football question. Okay.
Yeah.
This, you mentioned it earlier. It's a team that everybody likes to root for. I think everybody's kind of bought in on Josh Heupel and liking the trajectory of the program and seeing the offense completely do a 180. Seeing the defense play so hard under Tim Banks, and I mean, you know, you're on the team. There's limitations in terms of players, in terms of depth. What's been this first season with Josh Heupel? What's it been like? It's not over. Two more games plus a bowl game, most likely. What's it been like?
You know, again, I mentioned it on the Fine Bomb Show on Friday, and I think this truly encompasses it. Is culture is never an easy thing to shift, especially when it's a turnaround. And being able to see Coach Hype and his staff do a absolutely remarkable job in shifting this culture around to guys that want to be at Tennessee, that want to come in the building every day and go to work, is something that they said from day one. You know, he was going to come in. We were going to do things the right way. We weren't going to skip anything. It was going to be a process. We're going to build this thing out. If you want to be here, jump on board, because we're going in the forward direction. And if you don't want to be here, you can either get out now or you're going to weed yourself out, because, you know, you can't ever fake something that you're not, and it always shows up. And, you know, I think what Coach Hype and his staff, you know, have had so much success with that is they've stayed true to what they said. And that's something that's not that easy. You know, that there's a lot of times in life when, you know, doing what you said isn't always the easiest way. Things come up, things change, you need to go off track a little bit. Coach Hype and his staff haven't done that. They've stayed true to what they said from day one, and guys have truly believed and bought in on that, and that's what feeds into the culture piece of it. And, you know, seeing these 125 guys that come to the building every morning to practice, to strap on the pads and go to work and sit in meetings, they love doing it, and more importantly, they love doing it with the guys sent to the left and right of them, and they love doing it for the guys up in the room teaching them. And that's something that it isn't always easy, and it's hard to find across college football, but we truly do have a staff of men that love us, and in turn, a group of guys that love the men leading us. And, you know, I'm just so proud to be a part of this team. I think in turn, that's what you've seen with the product on the field.
Well, he is number zero on the field. His name is Grant Furking, and he is putting on walk-on night at walk-ons tonight. It is at walk-ons again on Kingston Pike. Got that address right here. It is 7621 Kingston Pike right here at Knoxville, 7:30 to 10 o'clock. There'll be autograph, pictures, meet and greet chances for you to meet the hardest working group of men in Tennessee football. That is the walk-ons. Grant, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. And good luck tonight.
Hey, Eric, I appreciate it. See y'all tonight, Ball Nation.
Wasn't that cool? Really, really cool stuff from Grant Furking. If I was only as mature as he was at the age of 15, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what I was doing at 15. And a lot of what I was doing at 22 is the age he is now. I can't remember. Needless to say, he is years and years and years beyond the age of 22. He is so far ahead. That man is making money. That man is going to be successful, already is. But all throughout the ways of life. And I didn't ask him this. I meant to ask him, but I had to run. I expect him to take advantage of that COVID year. And I bet this would be a first in NCAA history, right? Coming back as a walk-on for another year of eligibility, right? Because of his platform with On3 being kind of the catalyst for name, image, and likeness, plenty of name, image, and likeness opportunities for Grant Furking, and to continue to be in that role. I almost guarantee that he's going to come back and be a part of the football program again next season, but we'll have to see. But that was awesome stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed that. And again, if you're free and available tonight, want to go out and find something to do, find something to eat, have a drink, go over to Walk-Ons on Kingston Pike and meet the Walk-Ons from the University of Tennessee. All right, we will come back. Has Tennessee exceeded your expectations for year one? We'll discuss in segment number three. But first, NetSuite. All right, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. All right, NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. All right. Over 27,000 businesses have already used NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade. It's netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head on over to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That's netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. All right, we're back here to really just say goodbye, and I do apologize. Longer segments really went long with Grant there, but I wasn't about to cut him off and keep him from saying all that he had to say. So it's really going to be a hello, we'll see you later here in segment three, and I apologize. Never want to do that. That's Radio 101 and now Podcasting 101. But as we welcome you back here to Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day, I want to just present a prompt to you. And really, you know, this can be kind of an off-season exercise we do, but you never want to count your chickens before they, or your eggs before they hatch, you know, whatever that saying is. My mom used to say that growing up. I thought it was silly. But I mean, Tennessee's going to be 7-5, right? I mean, Tennessee is going to be 7-5. Tennessee will go to a bowl game with an opportunity to win 8 games. So, has Tennessee exceeded your expectations in year 1? I mean, we had some national plaudits, national writers from national publications say Tennessee would win 4 games this year. Tennessee might only win 3 games this year. And I never thought it was going to be that bad, ever. But in their defense, to an extent, I mean, you saw the roster turnover, right? We lived it. We talked about it on this podcast day in and day out. We talk about the lack of depth. We talk about the lack of talent at certain positions. So, you know, I feel like Tennessee, in some areas, have exceeded expectations. You guys know me. We can revisit this. I said Tennessee would be 6-6, but I said Tennessee would crawl to 6 wins, right? Well, with 3 weeks to go in the regular season, Tennessee already had 5 wins, okay? So you just needed one more win to become bowl eligible, and then another win on top of that with South Alabama and Vanderbilt to pick up that 7th win of the season, and that's where we are right now, right? So I thought Tennessee would crawl to 7 wins, or 6 wins. I thought Tennessee would win one of the 3 toss-up games in Pittsburgh, in Missouri, and in Kentucky. All right. Looking back on it, I thought Tennessee would probably lose to Missouri, and Tennessee blew them out. I thought Tennessee would probably beat Kentucky, and Tennessee would lose to Pittsburgh. Tennessee ended up losing to Pittsburgh by only a touchdown. Tennessee blew Missouri out, and Tennessee won in a shootout in Lexington. Remember, I phrased it, the wild not in Lexington. Nonetheless, this is where we are. But what's it going to take for Tennessee to be an actual contender? And I know it's patience. You got to be patient. I know you're tired of hearing that. This roster needs to get where it needs to be, simply put. Needs more players. Need more depth. Need more talent. That's going to take years and years and years. Offensively, you're always going to have a chance, right? We saw that this year. We saw that against Alabama. You're always going to have a chance offensively. Saw that against Georgia in the first quarter. Defensively, you got some work to do. But it's what Tennessee does against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. I have this conversation all the time, okay? Every single offseason, we'll do it again. It's what you do against Florida, Georgia, Alabama. You know, Tennessee this year, blown out by Florida. Tennessee this year, on the scoreboard, blown out by Alabama, though that score was not indicative of the ball game. It was a close game for up until 8 minutes or 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But at the end of the day, scoreboard don't lie, right? You were blown out against Alabama. And then you were blown out against Georgia. And I'm not saying Tennessee, that wasn't the expectation this year for Tennessee. I'm not trying to say Tennessee should have been more competitive. It's like, what do you expect, right? But in year two and in year three, you know, until Tennessee starts consistently playing with those guys and starts knocking off some of those guys, that's, once Tennessee does that, I'm going to say, okay, Tennessee is on its way, or Tennessee has arrived to where, okay, it can be a contender in the SEC East. You know, we're talking about this, and that's where you as fans want to be. That's where you want this program to be. And I think it can get there. I just don't know, when you look at 2022, can Tennessee beat Florida? I think Tennessee will have the opportunity to beat Florida. Can Tennessee still hang with Alabama? And can Tennessee make it more competitive against Georgia? We'll find out. And I know the 2021 season still isn't over, and so it's kind of like, again, like I said earlier, counting your eggs, chicken before they hatch, whatever that was. Again, you know, Mom, I tune her out a lot of the times when she said stuff like that. So just a little something to think about. And again, we'll reset this. But I think in areas, in terms of player development, in terms of getting what you got out of the defense with the lack of talent and lack of depth, and what you've done in terms of schematics from Josh Heupel and scheming to get players open as consistently as you have, the resurgence of Hendon Hooker, I think Tennessee has already exceeded expectations in many, many areas. So just wanted to present this here. We will revisit it, okay? We'll continue to revisit it. Of course, Tennessee has two more games left to continue this narrative in the regular season, and then, of course, a bowl game. So we will come back to this, but something to think about. Has Tennessee exceeded your expectations in year one? And timeline here, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, when can Tennessee knock off one of those teams? Because until then, Tennessee will not be a true contender in the SEC East. I think it will happen, but will it happen in year two? I don't know. That's the conversation. Year two or year three, that's the conversation, and I lean more towards a year three right now, but we'll have to see. Guys, so much fun here on today's show. Great stuff from Josh Ward. Fantastic stuff from Grant Furking. And thank you all so much for tuning in and making Locked On Vols your first listen. Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. He'll get you set for all the news around the SEC. It's 5 days a week, Locked On SEC. Make that your second listen when we're done here. We will have another guest on tomorrow's show and another guest on Friday's show. Really looking forward to bringing you that content the rest of the week. And thank you so much, as always, for tuning in here to Locked On Vols. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.